And while following the thematic format of the Mishnah, it has an associative nature to it that gives the reader a sense of actually sitting in on some sort of academic framework and being privy to a freewheeling and sometimes heated discussion of a group of serious intellectuals. And this associative nature is fascinating. They might be talking about the laws of neighbors, in other words, what one neighbor could impose on his friend. Let's say they share a common courtyard. Can a neighbor open up any business in that courtyard and not have his fellow neighbors complain? And we read about one fellow who wanted to open up a schoolyard, a small school in the courtyard. The neighbors complained. The children are making noise. Of course, the teacher would have said, but I'm teaching Torah. And that leads to a discussion on Jewish education. And for hundreds of years, this Talmud was used as the basis for formulating systematic legal texts. It is not a code. And so people tried to make it into a code. And one system was actually employed, again, by that renowned scholar, philosopher of the 12th century, Maimonides, who took the Talmud, removed all the names of the rabbis of any particular discussion, and projected their opinions as a universally recognized law. Maimonides wasn't the only one to produce such a code. Each person did it in a somewhat different fashion. Over the centuries, many such compilations appeared. The final one, or rather the most famous of these, is one known as the Shulchan Aruch. In Hebrew, this means a spread table. It was compiled by a rabbi in Galilee in the city of Safed. His name is Joseph Caro in the 16th century. And basically, it took all of Judaic tradition and divided it into four sections. This was based on an earlier book that had been written. And the four sections are daily life, prayer, holidays, Sabbath. The second section deals with dietary laws, eating kosher. The third section deals with laws of marriage, divorce. And the fourth section, civil law. And in a sense, the appearance of this Shulchan Aruch marked a turning point in Jewish life. It is almost a literary demarcation between the Middle Ages and early modernity. Everything else afterwards had to be based on the Shulchan Aruch. But there's a different type of literature that was not produced as a code, but it was an ongoing process, and we refer to it as responsa. We should remember that for centuries, Jewish authorities were asked questions not of major proportion sometimes, but by individuals or by small local communities. And the responses that these rabbis issued became the basis for future future legal development. These responsa are important not only for legal scholars, but for historians as well, because they serve as a fantastic source for social history. What are the problems of a daily life that people are addressing? One example, somewhat sad. An Israeli astronaut who lost his life in the Columbia shuttle tragedy, just prior to being sent off into space, approaches a rabbi and asks, how do I keep Sabbath if I'm circling the earth every 90 minutes? When does the day begin? When does it end for me? And there is already a responsa dealing with this question. Medieval Judaism produced a different type of literature, commentaries to the Bible. And these commentaries were produced wherever Jews resided. The most famous of these commentaries was produced by a rabbi in France, 11th century France. He's commonly referred to as Rashi. His full name is Rabbi Solomon ben Isaac. And his genius was in addressing a text, it could be the Bible, it could be the Talmud, on the one hand clarifying every word, but on the other hand, giving you a sense of the complete text. Children who study Torah in traditional context to this very day do it with one finger on the biblical text and one finger on Rashi. And over the years, the text and the commentary become one. Most children have no idea if it's said in the Bible or if it's Rashi's commentary that says it. If there was one book that defined Jewish behavior and belief and with which even laymen were familiar, it was the Jewish prayer book. We will be discussing liturgy as part of the synagogue activity in a subsequent lecture. The earliest prayer books appeared in the 8th and 9th century. They were produced in Babylonia by the rabbis there. And there's no one standard prayer book. Every community, every geographical context of Jews might have produced its own prayer book. There are common prayers that everybody shares. There is a basic structure to the prayer, but otherwise different communities would have different traditions. Not only that.